Welcome to Asian American Perspectives. I'm Eric Olander. In this edition of Perspectives, China's past and present as seen through the eyes of author Nian Cheng. In the late summer of 1966, a group of Mao Zedong's Red Guards invaded and pillaged the home of Nian Cheng. As the widow of a foreign officer for Chiang Kai-shek's regime, educated at the London School of Economics and a senior executive in China for the Shell Oil Company, Nian Cheng's background made her an obvious target for the fanatics of the Cultural Revolution. Prior to her arrest, Cheng enjoyed a lifestyle which few of her compatriots could afford, including servants, access to Western press and music, as well as foreign bank accounts. As a result, she was denounced as an imperialist spy and was pressured to confess to fabricated allegations. When Cheng refused to admit that she was an enemy of the state, she was imprisoned for over 6 years in solitary confinement, enduring both physical and psychological torture, which she says still haunts her today. Her survival through one of history's most brutal periods led her to write Life and Death in Shanghai, the story of her imprisonment during the Cultural Revolution. The book spent 3 months on the New York Times bestseller list, has received critical acclaim from many of America's top literary critics, and is still enjoying strong sales today. I spoke with Nian Cheng at her home in Washington, D.C.
To read a paragraph from the first chapter, and I'd like you to explain the similarities and differences of China under Mao as China under Deng. Since the very beginning of the communist regime, I carefully studied books on Marxism and pronouncements by Chinese Communist Party leaders. It seemed to me that socialism in China was still very much an experiment, and no fixed course of development for the country had yet been decided upon. This, I thought, was why the government's policy was always changing, like a pendulum swinging from left to right and back again. When things went to extremes and problems emerged, Beijing would take corrective measures. Then these very corrective measures went too far and had to be corrected. The real difficulty was, of course, that a state-controlled economy stifled productivity and economic planning from Beijing ignored local conditions and killed incentives. How is that the same as it is today?
Exactly the same. Because they haven't changed, basically. You know, the present-day leaders, they all of them worked under Mao. Their thinking is limited by Mao Zedong's thinking. I wrote an introduction for the Time magazine book on Tiananmen Square. I said that these people's thinking are limited by Mao Zedong's thinking, and in fact, these leaders are cast in Mao Zedong's image. They are not capable to break through, to be different. Even the economic reform, there was a time Mao Zedong was quite in favor of temporarily liberalizing, you know, because of his Great Leap Forward campaign going haywire and created widespread starvation and so on. This is to correct that. So Deng Xiaoping initiated the economic reform to correct the anomaly, create economic, terrible economic situation at the end of the Cultural Revolution. You see, he never meant to install in China a market economy. What he had done was to remedy the shortcomings of the planned economy. On the fringe, allow some private enterprise.
You wrote that socialism was an experiment in China. Do you feel that socialism is still an experiment in China today?
I think socialism has been debunked because actually socialism as a system does not deserve the present criticism that's thrown at it. Social, because in Soviet Union, in China, they did not have democracy. If you have democracy with socialism, then socialism is not completely unworkable.
How do you feel the China's political and economic climate of the pre-Cultural Revolution days compare with those of the post-Tiananmen era?
The economic reform created many problems. I think, on the whole, you could sum it up this way. There are people who benefited from the economic reform. The Tiananmen massacre was the turning point for a retreat from the economic reform. Politically, I think the Communist Party has not changed one iota. They still want to control as tightly, as rigidly as Mao's during Mao's time. When you see that there is more freedom in China, it's not because the communist government wants to give the people more freedom, but because they have been so discredited that they no longer are able to maintain the same degree of control over the people as during Mao's time. It's their inability, not their unwillingness, to control. You see, Mao's control of the population depended a great deal on the support of the average person on the street who were ready to inform, who were ready to assist the authorities. Now that's all completely broken down. In the old days, during Mao's time, if your neighbor's son joined the Communist Party, you go and congratulate that family because it was an honor and an opportunity for advancement. Now, if you hear your neighbor's son joined the Communist Party, you will say to yourself, oh my gosh, such a nice young man. Why did he do that? You see, the Communist Party is no longer looked upon with respect and fear. In Mao's time, it was a combination of respect and fear. This deterioration of the people's opinion of the Communist Party for the average Chinese is primarily due to the corruption of the officials. During Mao's time, there was some abuse of power, but by no means as widespread as it is today.
We were all shocked and disappointed when the tanks rolled into Tiananmen Square on June 4th of 1989. What was your reaction?
Well, I thought they were going to make the people, the student, go back to school, but I never thought they were going to bring out tanks. I mean, it was utterly unnecessary. They could have forced the children to go back to school and stop it all without bringing out the tanks. And how stupid they were that they didn't throw out all the TV cameramen beforehand. I think they were utterly caught unprepared. They were frightened out of their wits. It's a sign of weakness to bring out the tanks and the machine guns against unarmed demonstrators, not a sign of strength. I think the leaders were frightened out of their wits. Don't you think they should at least, if they were calm, they should at least have thrown out all the foreign TV cameramen before they do that? If they did it really in a calculated manner, the way they handled the situation made me think that they were caught in, they became confused. They became so frightened that they really thought they were going to be confronted with an uprising. They really believed it. Of course, you must remember, Deng Xiaoping made the decision to bring out tanks, but he depended on reports. We have no way to know what kind of reports he got. He could have got a lot of very exaggerated reports about the threat of the so-called rebellion, the threat of the demonstrators against the government. They acted as if they really believed that this demonstration was going to overthrow the communist government. How could they believe that? This is beyond my understanding. I did expect that they would take some measures to clear the square, maybe send in police with sticks and things like that. But never, I never thought they'd be so stupid with all these TV cameras rolling that they would send the tanks. Wasn't that a stupid thing to have done?
Did the violence of Tiananmen bring back memories of the Cultural Revolution at all?
Well, I never witnessed the Red Guards' violence because I was in prison myself early on, you know, September 1966, when the Cultural Revolution barely started. There were some very bad situations, I believe. Lots of people killed and so on. But I never witnessed any of it. However, I never linked the two events in my mind because it's very clear. I was really quite thrilled that the young people in China had made such progress. The Red Guards blindly followed Mao Zedong. I several times when they were looting my home, I wanted to talk to them, but there was no common language because they were given so much propaganda that they were saturated with this propaganda that they firmly believe that I was an enemy. And there you have at Tiananmen Square, a new generation of young people in China. And they were thinking young people. They thought for themselves. They weren't blindly following a leader. That to me is a great encouragement. I think that made me think that there was hope for China.
For me, as a Western observer, who did not experience the horrendous things you went through, I see some similarities between the Cultural Revolution and the post-Tiananmen, the re-education camps, the show trials, and so forth. Do you see these kinds of similarities that I'm seeing?
The show trials are not limited to Cultural Revolution. From 1949, the communists seized power in China. Right away, 1950, they carried out the land reform movement. They had show trials all over the country against the landlords and later against rich peasants. They had show trials all the time, not just during the Cultural Revolution. The mass hysteria, the denunciation, it's all the same. And you read my book, Lenin treatment to those who confess, severe punishment for those who remain stubborn, and the merit for those who denounce others. And this is their slogan. They used it again. They haven't been able to improve on that for over 40 years. They did it from the very beginning, 1949. You know, this is nothing new to me. What I went through, nothing new to me. The Tiananmen Square thing is new.
What happened in the Cultural Revolution
to the Chinese people was the continuation, only worse, more so in quantity, but not in quality. It's exactly the same as what they did to the landlords, to the rightists, to the dissidents throughout the 40 years of communist rule. It's nothing extraordinary.
Bye.
This has been Asian American Perspectives. I'm Eric Olander in San Francisco. Perspectives would like to thank Nian Cheng for her cooperation. Asian American Perspectives is a production of Echo Communications, all rights reserved.